Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is another in this occasional series of readings from and brief notes and commentary upon Eusebius of Caesarea's The Ecclesiastical History. Here is Book 5, Chapters 19 and 20. Chapter 19. Tradition says that Serapion was bishop of Antioch after Maximinus, at the time referred to, and he has mentioned the works of Apollinarius against the heresy described. He mentions him in his own letter to Caracas and Pontius, in which he also himself refutes the same heresy and continues thus, "And in order that you may know this, that the working of the so-called new prophecy of this false order is abominated in the whole of Christendom throughout the world, I have sent you the writings of Claudius Apollinarius, the bishop of Hierapolis in Asia of blessed memory. And in his letter of Serapion, there are preserved the signatures of various bishops, of whom one signed himself, I, Aurelius Cyrenaeus, a martyr, pray for your welfare. Another as follows, I, Aelius Publius Julius, bishop of Debeltum, a colony of Thrace. As God lives in the heavens, the blessed Sotas in Ancilius wished to drive the devil out of Priscilla, and the hypocrites would not let him. The autograph signatures of many other bishops who agreed with them are also preserved in the above-mentioned writing. So far concerning them." Chapter 20. In opposition to those in Rome who were discarding the sound ordinance of the church, Irenaeus composed various letters. He addressed one to Blastus on schism, another to Florinus on the sole sovereignty, or that God is not the author of evil. For Florinus seemed to be defending this opinion. For his sake, too, when he was attracted by the Valentinian error, a work was composed by Irenaeus on the Og Doad, in which he also indicates that he had himself received the first succession of the apostles, and in it, at the end of the work, we find a most acceptable notice from which we are obliged to give in this book, and it runs as follows, "I adjure thee, who shalt copy out this book by our Lord Jesus Christ, by his glorious advent when he comes to judge the living and the dead, that thou compare what thou shalt transcribe, and correct it with this copy whence thou art transcribing, with all care. And thou shalt likewise transcribe this oath and put it in the copy. May his words be spoken to our prophet and be narrated in order that we may keep those primitive and truly sacred men as the best example of the most zealous care." In the letter to Florinus, which we have spoken of above, Irenaeus again mentions his intercourse with Polycarp and says, "These opinions, O Florinus, that I may speak sparingly, do not belong to sound doctrine. These opinions are inconsistent with the church and bring those who believe in them into the greatest impiety. These opinions, not even the heretics outside the church ever dared to proclaim. These opinions, those who were presbyters before us, they who accompanied the apostles, did not hand on to you. For while I was still a boy, I knew you in Lower Asia in Polycarp's house, when you were a man of rank in the royal hall, and endeavoring to stand well with him. I remember the events of those days more clearly than those that happened recently. For what we learn as children grows up with the soul and is united to it, so that I can speak even of the place in which the blessed Polycarp sat and disputed, how he came in and went out, the character of his life, the appearance of his body, the discourses which he made to the people, how he reported his intercourse with John and all the others who had seen the Lord, how he remembered their words, and what were the things concerning the Lord which he had heard from them, and about their miracles and about their teaching, and how Polycarp had received them from the eyewitnesses of the word of life, and reported all things in agreement with the scriptures. I listened eagerly, even then, to these things, through the mercy of God which was given me, and made notes of them, not on paper, but in my heart. And ever by the grace of God do I truly ruminate on them, And I can bear witness before God that if that blessed and apostolic presbyter had heard anything of this kind, he would have cried out and shut his ears and said, according to his custom, O good God, to what time hast thou preserved me that I should endure this? He would have fled even from the place in which he was seated or standing when he heard such words. And from his letters, which he sent either to the neighboring churches, strengthening them, or to some of the brethren, exhorting and warning them, this can be made plain. So says Irenaeus. And here ends Book 5, chapters 19 and 20, and we'll move on to some brief notes and commentary. These chapters continue the attack against the Montanists by noting two more of their Orthodox opponents, Serapion of Antioch and Irenaeus of Lyon. Chapter 19 makes reference to Serapion, who became bishop at Antioch following Maximinus. He wrote against the so-called new prophecy in a letter commending the writings of Claudius Apollinarius, bishop of Hierapolis, against them. His letter also included the autographic signatures of other bishops who oppose the Montanists. Chapter 20 notes Irenaeus' letters against the heresy as it was found in Rome. He wrote a letter to Blastus titled On Schism and another to Florinus titled On the Soul Sovereignty. And the Greek word for sovereignty is monarchia, arguing for the unity or sovereignty of God. And that work was apparently also known as That God is Not the Author of Evil. Irenaeus also refuted the Valentinian error in a work titled On the Ogdoad. Eusebius makes an interesting reference here to a scribal instruction that was included in this letter of Irenaeus to Florinus, and the scribal note suggested that faithful copying of the work should be carried out, and the scribe was warned to be careful in copying the letter. He also notes that in the letter to Florinus, Irenaeus had appealed to his connection with Polycarp, who had known the Apostle John and others who had seen the Lord. He suggests that if Polycarp had seen such heresy as was then infecting the church, that things such as Montanism and Valentinianism, he would have exclaimed, as was his custom, O good God, to what hast thou preserved me that I should endure this? In conclusion, these chapters illustrate again the conflict that we have seen before, as spoken about by Eusebius in this church history, between orthodoxy and heresy in the early church. The Orthodox could claim a direct connection to the apostles through men like Polycarp, showing that the so-called new prophecy of Montanism was not a faithful and authentic apostolic practice. Well, this brings this episode to a conclusion. I hope that it has been helpful, and I will look forward to speaking to you in our next episode. Till then, take care and God bless.